previously on The Hired Swords. How quick we are to forget the warm nights, tucked safely in our childhood beds as we grow older. Afraid of the shadows, I was. My father used to tell me,
"Sovereign, fear not the dark, for you carry the light with you, in here,"
as he'd put his hand over my heart. I was too young to realize he wasn't talking about Helm, or our belief in a higher power or purpose. That was talking about what makes us who we are. Love. I protect my friends and my family out of love. It's all clear now. But Father, the darkness is here. Now. And frankly, I'm terrified. Listening to The Hired Swords, a podcast we use as an excuse to wear wizard hats. Meow.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of The Hired Swords. This is your Dungeon Master, Michael. Just like always, and I've got Blaze with me. Hi, Blaze.
I got Cheese.
He's got Cheese, and he is Kriggs. I also got Ash here playing Gwendolyn.
Howdy. Hello.
Mikey's here. He's Joxer.
Howdy, y'all.
He's also Southern, apparently. And also Derek is here. He's Davin.
46. You asked how much damage I took last time. It was 46 points of damage.
46 points of damage last time.
I'm not just having cheese. I'm eating the cheese I'm having.
What kind?
It's Colby Jack.
Stick.
Is it spicy?
Wasn't she on How I Met Your Mother?
That's okay. That's all right. When we last left off, we weren't talking about cheese. We last left off with 46 damage to Davin from Teld. He suddenly appeared in the middle of this. He's the one that's been stirring up all this trouble in this goblin village, it seems. He's thrown these shadows at these adventurers. He is now here to seek vengeance, it seems, and he's serious. He shot Davin a couple times with this his crossbow. He does not seem normal. He doesn't just look like a normal goblin. He's got these weird shadows, like, just flailing about him, this crazy mist, dark mist swirling around him. His eyes glow this golden, orangish green weird color as he called out and said that you cannot kill me again. And he started to attack. After he says that, as we jump right back into this scenario, after he says that, he steps backwards behind one of the shadows that he summoned, and he starts to move back. And he tries to duck away with a natural 20. No one else can see him any longer. Do I need to show you the 20? Boop. I picked it up too fast for it to be.
I believed you.
I believe that you can lie with your rolls of dice.
It was a 31 total roll, by the way.
That is terrible.
That's disgusting. Unlike my cheese.
So that takes us at the end. That's the end of his turn. It takes us to Joxer.
Oh, dear.
Round two.
Yeah, Joxer. So he saw where two might be now. And that is probably where he's going to go for, since I believe Krieg's last episode slammed his hammer on two of them. So he is going to walk around Kriggs and work his way and take his rapier out. And
okay, and I'm just going to clarify, the one you're attacking is currently like wrapped itself around Kriggs, kind of taking up the same space as Kriggs almost. So just just roll well. That's all I'm saying.
I'll be fine.
I trust you to survive whatever I, you know, dish out.
Yeah, so, you're pretty weak.
Oh, snap. I think we should have a battle royale.
Yeah, these days. Yeah. Now it's going to get, maybe I'll be a little bit more. So that is a 14.
Ain't going to hit me.
It hits them. Yes.
Yeah, that was tight. So that will be, so this is just the rapier attack. That is an 8 plus a 7. So that's 15 plus 4, and that's 19 damage. And 6 of that was fire.
Okay, so you swing that at them, and when you swing it, you slice through, and your sword glows with this fire. You're attacking with the flaming rapier, not the shadow.
Blade. So this is the flaming rapier. Yeah.
So yeah, when you swing through with it, it just sizzles away. And this shadow turns to steam as it completely dissolves from the blow of your magical sword. What is next for you?
Ah, yes. So for my my offhand attack, I am going to throw my shadow blade at the other. And that would also be with advantage because it's dim light still, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. That is gone forever.
Run away!
Yeah. It was probably a bad one anyway.
Yeah.
Play it as it rolls. Wait.
So,
roll it as it plays?
Play it as it lies? That's a golf one.
So 24. I imagine that probably hits.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay. So we're going to do
ASMR.
That. 7.
A little something 5, for everybody. So 12. At the higher source.
17, 19 damage.
Another one just dissolves as that shadow blade goes through it and dissolves it. What kind of damage does it do? Just slicing?
So that is psychic. Psychic damage is that.
Psychic damage.
Don't be immune. Don't be immune.
No one's immune to psychic.
Okay.
No one's immune to an annoying
psychic
bard.
Is not on any of the lists at all. So it is normal. So it goes through and just dissolves it. And as it dissolves this creature, the sword flies out away and then comes back to you, I assume?
It actually dissipates.
Oh, nice.
And then on a
another it dissolves. Turn, you see the creature dissolve, and right behind it, that sword just also dissolves right in the face of Giss's mother, who's still standing there looking confused, thinking she was walking out there to find her husband. And she's standing there almost in the space that shadow was, not knowing it was there. Is that your whole turn, Joxer?
Yeah. So I will, as a bonus action, use a shielding aura, which is a 10-foot radius around me. And anything that ends its turn in my radius will take damage equal to my warlock level plus charisma. And then I take reduced damage.
Okay. And the size of that aura, is that just covering you?
Yes. It's a 10 foot around me, and I'll actually probably get closer to the pins. I'll probably go over here.
Okay. Okay, so you're standing right up at the pins, looking over the fence towards where these shadows are approaching, barely able to make out these little shadows in the distance because of this light. These shadows are currently, they seem strangely in just full-on attack mode, like they're following orders, not acting normal, like something that's supposed to be stealthy like this would act. Do you have any other actions or anything else you're going to do?
I can't see much enough, so I will pass on that one.
Okay, so this is the top of the shadow's turns. The moonbeam shadow, first of all, tell me what the damage or whatever it is on that guy.
It is 2d10.
Okay, roll that.
Did he fail or succeed?
Oh, that's right.
Constitution?
Ooh, what does he have to beat?
16, I think.
He rolled an 18.
That son of a gun.
Does it take half damage or no damage?
Takes half. So 7 damage.
7 damage total? Sounds good. So this moonbeam, suddenly this light from above, the light of the beam kind of pulsates from top down, and it pulses over this creature, and you see it kind of flail a little bit and flicker, and as it does, it takes that 7 damage, and
it's radiant damage, right?
Wounded mm-hmm. a little bit. Is it radiant?
Yep.
Okay, so it actually takes 14 damage.
Radiant damage, you say?
You see that as it seems to strengthen itself, but then that pulsate comes in and it just like devastates this creature, even though it seems like it was bearing down, preparing for the attack. And so it looks like it took even extra damage. Sick. Anything else, Gwyn? Oh yeah, no, that's their turn.
Yeah, that was it. Their turn.
So I mean, I'm like, what's your next thing, Gwyn, as you hurt people and it's not even your turn? You are going to, this first shadow is going to step right up to Joxer, unconcerned with any aura. Does it take damage immediately?
End of its turn.
Okay, so it's going to first try to wrap itself around you and start to drain you with a dirty 20 to hit.
That will hit.
And that's with your mage armor.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah, 20 is the armor class.
Okay, so it's a 16 plus 4. So, all right, so now it's going to roll the 2d6 damage, and you need to make a... there's no saving throw. 5, 6, 7, 8 necrotic damage.
So that'll be reduced to 4.
Okay. And 1 strength point down, unless your aura does anything to protect you from that.
I don't believe so. It is just resistance to all damage. Do we, in that aura,
get advantage or disadvantage, and would that matter?
On ability checks, not saving throws. Yeah.
Yeah. Oop. Yeah, so it's just resistance to all damage for the shielding aura. So
another one comes up to you again. This time it only rolls a 10 to hit.
That won't do it.
While one is kind of engulfing you and wrapping around you, this other one comes up to you, and you're able to sidestep it as well as it kind of starts to come around the edge. They both take, what's the damage they take?
It'll be 11 radiant damage.
11 radiant damage? Did you double that?
I did not.
Okay, so 22 radiant damage. So this aura pulsates just like that moonbeam did, and both of these things, they don't shriek or make any sound. There's just this silent rear back of their head, and this shadow mouth seems to open and gasp, and you just hear like the air suck out of the space as they're start to kind of shrivel and shrink up, but they're still there. They're still standing, but nowhere near as strong as they were. Not standing, hovering, floating, whatever. Another one comes out and it approaches Gwyn and tries to wrap itself around her. Gwyn, this is a 14 to hit you.
No.
So
they have +2 from haste.
You're able to kind of dip yourself down away from it as it doesn't do any damage.
So full disclosure. Yep. Haste is a concentration spell. I should have to roll for that.
Okay. Roll for that. Thank you for your honesty.
So the first damage that I took was 24 plus 14. That's 38. So I have to roll a 19 in order to hold concentration, right?
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Why is everyone ruining everything I want to do?
Natural 20.
I can't use my totem.
Natural 20 plus
6. Nice. Yes,
we're good.
Awesome. Yeah, you're good. It's not ruined after all, Gwendolyn. Nice roll. That was awesome. Good job rolling that. That was good.
Thank you. And I appreciate it.
You know, honesty pays off, man. You didn't suffer. Okay. So the one more that just got kind of summoned starts to make its way towards you guys as well. I don't know if it can get all the way to you or not. I'm going to find out if it can reach anybody. Oh, it can reach anybody it wants. This one's going for Davin.
They're fast little boys.
Yeah, they are. They got 40 feet.
I don't appreciate them going after Davin. Davin's my boy toy.
Oh, okay.
A little too specific there.
That is a 21.
No, I mean, like, you got lots of necklaces and I, you know, I'm really, I don't, I got, never mind.
11 damage.
Okay.
Necrotic damage. And you lose 3 points from your strength score.
That's very bad. Okay.
Oh,
though, this thing wraps itself around Davin. Davin, you feel your body just start to shrivel and dry up, and the wounds that you have start to just ooze with more blood, and almost like the wounds age like they've been untreated. They start to feel infected from this necrotic damage, and you just cry out in pain as it's just kind of fills your body with this extra pain, and like death is coming way prematurely for you. The other creature here that took that damage, he's going to go ahead up to Kriggs, and he's going to try to get to Kriggs. His attack is a 4+4. That's an 8. So
definitely hits.
He approached to his doom. The moonbeam stays where you put it, right? Does he take damage when he leaves it or no?
Correct.
Just starting his turn. Okay.
Just starting his turn. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And that, I believe, finishes the turn of these creatures. But at the end of this turn, we're going to see if Teld can do a legendary action. He cannot. So it is now. All right. So, Derek, why don't you go ahead and roll your saving throw for the attack you just took from the shadows? Joxer, you also took damage as well.
Yes. So Shadowblade, I need to do Constitution. 24.
I'm good. As well.
Okay. Another 24.
So that is a 16 natural. So I took 4 damage. So I think that'll be all right. And then I took no damage on the other one. So we're good.
Great. All right, then, Kriggs, we are now at your turn.
Okay, so the battlefield, I have two between me and Joxer that are technically aligned. Davin is over the way. He is wrapped up, I'm assuming, in that one. It's not like it would just be an easy hit.
Correct. It is currently sharing space with him.
Oof. Okay. Man. I don't want to risk hitting him. That would decimate him. I am...
Yeah, no fireballs his way. That's not a good idea.
I am going to raise my hammer and, just feeling entirely overwhelmed by the current situation at hand, I'm going to very quietly like whisper, like, please, Wilds, help us. And I'm going to swing my hammer down with all my might down at the shadow directly in front of me that wasn't able to hit me.
All right.
I'm going to roll a... Not great. Hopefully it's enough. What is my hammer plus 7? That is a 6+7. So, well, hold on. Hammer is the plus 1. So does it add that to the roll?
Yes.
So 7
your
plus 7, 14.
Proficiency, your strength, and any magical addition. So, yeah.
So 14. So,
yep, you needed 12, so that hits.
Shoo! Okay. I'll roll my damage on that. Well, that is 10 bludgeoning damage.
10 bludgeoning damage on this creature. And, all right, so you swing that hammer down, and it... again slices all like hits all the way through and lands on the ground. Fud, dust comes up and kind of joins the dispelling mist around this creature as a dark mist swirls, and the thing kind of comes back, but it's barely visible as there's not much left of this creature. You've dispelled so much with this attack, and you have a second attack, I believe.
Yeah, and I swing again with just all my might, which feels drained because I have lost some strength. I'm feeling rough. I rolled the exact same thing, so 14.
Yeah, it's another hit.
And rolling damage. 17 damage.
So this time you swing across it, and as you do, it's just like, it's like the fire's gone out and there's smoke there, and you just kind of fan the smoke, and it just kind of dissipates as nothing's left. And you just stand there, and looking beyond you, you can see you're still how long does your detecting undead, how long does that last?
10 minutes.
Yeah, so you're definitely still seeing these creatures light up all over the place. And you do see a faint glow back in the back beyond the animals, back by the back of the pin.
So With that one slain, I'm going to step forward into the other one that is just behind Joxer. You know what? Hold on. How far away am I from the shadow I see off in the distance that I heard speak? Whoa. 40 feet?
40 feet away.
Man, I don't have enough walking speed. Okay, I'm going to walk forward straight to the one that is directly behind Joxer, and I'm going to feel something. I'm going to feel a little bit of a call from the wild, at least a response for the original prayer that I had, and it's going to kind of invigorate me. And with that feeling, the kind of swirl of light from just the natural sources and the trees and the forest nearby, I am going to channel divinity, Feral Slaughter. So on a bonus action, I can channel the rebuking spirits of the wildlands to repel trespassers. So basically I get one attack, and if I hit, I can attack once more. So it's like a extra attack. And I'm going to two-handed swing, and you're going to hear me cry out, just raging. And then behind my voice is just the screams of the forest spirits. So hopefully I don't miss, because that would be really lame.
Yeah, really exciting, but...
Yeah, 7 plus 7, so I got 15 that time.
Yeah, you hit.
That's and 14, rolling damage? Got it. Oh, 14.
Well, but your plus 1 magic, right?
One. Got it. So, I feel a little doofy because of math. My damage on that is going to be 11, and I'm going to, unless he's dead, I'm going to make a second attack with that.
He's dead. You have to target the same creature? Is that what it says? Okay, yeah. So that one did it. It dispersed him. Again, just a poof of this mist, and he's gone. Is that the end of your turn?
Yeah, and from me, whenever I actually make that hammer attack, whenever it hits the ground, because it goes straight through him, you see the dust is kind of illuminated, bioluminescence in a way, kind of glowing with the spirits of the wild as they dissipate back into nature in and of itself. So it goes very much through me and out the hammer into the ground and disperses.
Awesome. And then as you swing through and that disperses, seeing you devastating these minions, Shadowtell takes a legendary action and fires two crossbow bolts at you. The first one...
You can try.
That first one is a 19 plus...
It hits. Just
8.
It hits.
The second one... is a 16 total.
That doesn't hit.
So the first hit does the D8 11 piercing damage. Make a constitution saving throw.
Okie dokie. 13 plus 3, so 16.
16 just saves, and so you don't take any poison damage. You take half the poison damage
for
his.
So what is the poison damage that I get?
I'm going to roll it right now. 7d6.
Wait.
What?
I'm a poison. I'm a dwarf, so I have advantage against saving throws against poison.
Okay. Well, you already saved.
Well, yeah, you're right. Never mind. I was going to try to do like a double save.
You just take half on. It doesn't say resistance. It just says... advantage?
I am resistance against poison. I have resistance against poison damage.
So you have resistance and you get advantage. Yeah. Okay, so you on a saving throw, you don't take any if you have
dwarf
resistance.
Dwarf life.
So yeah, hashtag dwarf life. So congratulations, dwarf man. You don't take any. So you feel again that one arrow goes in and starts to flood around you. But nope, it doesn't do any. It's a plus 10 to hit. So
crap.
18 still doesn't hit you, does it?
No.
What's your armor class?
19.
Yeah. So I was adding the average damage, not the thing. So all right. How close are you to his ally? I want to make sure you aren't supposed to take sneak attack damage on that as well. No, you're not, because you killed the guy that was gonna give him sneak attack on you. So
yeah.
So yeah, you take that one crossbow bolt, fight off that poison, feeling as it starts to sting, and you recognize that you're like, no, I've built an immunity to Iocane. So yeah. you feel fine. You're not hurting. And that is the end of that legendary action.
Man, that reference is going to mess with me for like a week. That's amazing.
Davin, it's on you, buddy.
All right. I'm going to take a risk here. Davin is angry, and he's going to look at the shadow creature in front of him, and his eyes just turn completely pure white. And he's going to pull his hands apart, and both of them are going to be glowing white, and he's going to twin spell Guiding Bolt at fourth level to the shadow in front of him and the one on Gwyn.
All right. Is that those are attack rolls?
Yes. So the one in front of me is with disadvantage.
Spooky Demon Boy is not happy.
But it is a 10 plus 8, so it's 18 to hit the guy in front of me.
Definitely just blows right through him. What's the damage? Or are you going to roll the other one first?
Yeah, I'll roll the other one first. The one on her is a 5 plus 8 is a 13. Does that hit?
It does, believe it or not.
Yes.
Whee.
So, fourth level, Guiding Bolt is 7d6.
Kid, God.
Awesome.
Ouchie. Jeez.
You hear the shadow say, ouchie.
Yep.
Don't hurt me, Daddy.
22. 28.
Hey, Sally.
28 radiant damage.
All right.
So, wow. I believe that would be doubled.
That's doubled?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's got a total of 27 hit points maximum. Okay,
so 56 total.
So, suddenly, this... You see this beam of light and lightning. Did you roll your D6 for lightning damage?
This
this ball like explodes, almost like a nuclear explosion around Davin. And this thing is just absorbed in this white light and gone. And the light fades and you see Davin standing there, his eyes glowing, having shunted this creature off of himself with this magic, and then he fires another one at the one on Gwendolyn. Did you hit that one?
And that one was more. It's 58 plus 3 more.
Okay.
What
so
did
that
you,
creature also...
Does the spell potentially... Does she have to save against it, or...?
It's a spell to hit, so I guess that's up to the DM.
It didn't hit you, right? Before, Gwyn? It missed you. Yeah, correct. So it's in front of Gwyn. Lucky. It wasn't wrapping around Gwendolyn.
Look,
so
I'm just used to things being over me at this point. I know, right? So
this light it's like somebody shined a spotlight on this creature, and a beam just goes through it. And as it does, the thing just like turns into it's like steam, and but the steam falls instead of rising, and just dissolves across the ground as there's this black mist that disappears in front of you. And you're now standing with nothing, no more of these creatures around you. Davin, what next?
Davin, his eyes still burning white. He just looks up and says, "Tell, you're next." And then he's going to swoop his cape through. And then with his second action, because of haste, he's going to cast Dimension Door. And he's going to hide behind this hut over here. And the second he reappears behind this hut, he goes, "Ah!" And he pulls the arrow out of his gut.
Okay.
Amazing.
All right. So that's all of Davin's turn. Gwendolyn, we're on your turn now.
Gwendolyn is just shocked by everything. And I think with that, she is going to lose concentration on the moonbeam that she had created. Because the smoke in front of her just disappeared. And she can't see Davin anywhere. So she just, Davin! And she starts running towards and... Just without thinking, she's going to run towards the aura, and she's going to cast Mass Cure Wounds with her staff. Boop, boop, boop.
Okay. So you run into that aura and cast this healing spell.
Bless me, healing mommy.
Davin didn't walk into the glowing pink and sparkly...
Nope. The person who needs the healing the most.
Aura.
Yeah. But plus, sorry, I am auto rolling them. Go!
Ooh, wow.
25.
That's a lot.
So everyone gets 25, and then Droxer and Kriggs would get an extra 10.
Yeah.
Because of the totem.
All right.
Now
so
that I know how to
what's
use
the range
it.
On that?
30 feet.
All right. So that is, I think Davin's in range. Yep.
Demon
totally.
Boy is
barely.
Is he?
He is. He's 25 feet from me because I can put it wherever I want.
Yeah, okay.
You guys got it. You got it.
So I get everybody gets it. 25 healing?
Yes. 25 hit points.
That's like
back.
Half my hit points.
Yay.
He's a real boy.
Is everyone okay? What is happening? And she sees they're just rubbing her eye because a little bit of smoke had gotten into it when she had ran over.
Being now at max health and just feeling completely invigorated, minus the strength, I still feel a little torn about that. I'm going to call out, Toad, I had nothing to do with your death before, but this time.
All right, Gwyn, was that your whole turn?
Yeah, and she's going to say, Teld.
Okay.
And look around, and that's
that
it.
That takes us to Teld's turn. He is going to pop Joxer with a crossbow bolt, as he's hidden from Joxer still. So, and Joxer's engaged, so he gets advantage. So the first one was a 26, second one is a 28. So the damage starts off as a 5 plus.
I have a feeling that like that healing spell was clutch on these boys.
9. So 9 total damage there. Make your saving throw, constitution
so
saving throw.
Before that happens, I'm kind of a monk and I can deflect missiles.
Okay.
So I get to deflect 1d10 plus 8 damage.
Okay.
So that's 17 damage on that one. And if I reduce it to 0 and have a free hand, which I do because the blade isn't back in my hand,
mm-hmm.
I can use this key point to throw it back at him.
You don't know where he is.
I didn't see where he...
Well, you saw the general area. I'd let you throw it back at him at disadvantage.
Okay. I'll do
it. In the low light and the...
It's just pure darkness, and you just hear.
I know, ow! I know. I got one. Voice. I got one more luck point just in case. So 13 plus. Would this? What would you consider? Is this a dex based?
Yeah, or, dexterity.
So that would be plus 7. So 20.
Yeah, that hits for sure.
Okay.
So
So I don't know what the damage is, but if it's covered in poison, he would get the poison.
Yeah. Okay. So he. It hits him, and he took 9 damage from that hitting him.
I like it, Gwyn. He pulled a Tomba!
And then, yeah, right? And then another one fires at you from there. This one is a 26 to hit.
That'll hit.
It's going to do... Oh, wow, good. 8 plus... 5,
that's
right?
Not good. These aren't
13 damage, and then you make the saving throw, a constitution saving throw. Gotta be to 15.
Okay. Just I'm assuming deflect missile has to use a reaction, so I'm
yes.
So that is a 13. What was the saving throw? I'm sorry.
The saving throw was
constitution? Is that
constitution. You rolled a what?
13 plus 2, 15.
15 is what you needed, so you take half of this. Ooh. So, 12, 18, 28.
The game is rolling good tonight.
37 halved, so you take, so that'll be half of 36 damage. So 13?
18.
18 damage. 18. Yeah, math's good for me. And then I forgot the sneak attack damage as well.
But the sneak attack was the first one, right? So.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So defend.
Yeah, because he missed you on that one. So there you go. So you took that 18 plus the initial 16. Yeah, 16. So, and that is his action there. He is now, you hear him call out and he says, she sent me and I will not fail. And breathes in this like deep gasping breath.
Do I recognize like the reference she sent me? Does that call back to maybe the hag or anything?
Make a history check. We'll see if you remember that.
Yeah, and you hear Joxer essentially like, I didn't start this. It was this. No,
I mean, did you? History for me is not great. 14. Plus zero.
Okay, a 14. So you don't remember any mention of a she or anything like that, but you definitely remember that look on that hag's face that was like they had failed something. Right. They were about to suffer the consequences of their failure. Then the Teld, you were finally able to kind of make out where they were, Joxer, where Teld was, and Teld backs away and you see him disappear into the shadows. And that takes us now to Joxer's turn.
And he starts with, "How could you do this to your family? They're suffering." And then he still has the shadow on him, so he is going to, I guess, flail a little bit
with his hands,
flame rapier.
Oh, the rapier! Got it.
Yeah, he's just gonna like
just swatting the fly off himself.
Just like there's a little bit of fire. I can get rid of that light a little bit, or the darkness. I don't know. And start with that. That is an 11. 4 plus 8, so 12.
12 to hit, definitely hits.
Ooh.
That is the AC.
That's getting tighter and tighter, man.
Yeah.
5 plus 4, so that's 9 piercing, and then 8 fire. So 17 total.
All right, that dissolves this one as this rapier kind of flails up and the flame follows it and just burns away and sizzles away what was left of that shadow as it dissipates and dies. And what are you going to do next?
Am I able to see anything at all?
You can make a perception check and that'll end your turn. The time it takes to really look hard to try to find them.
That'll be good. I'll use that. 16 plus 1, 17.
Yeah, you're just seeing darkness. The goblins that had been kind of looking and peeking to see what was happening, they are nowhere in sight either. In fact, even Giss's mom has turned and ran the other way, seeing this crazy magic being cast and all this crazy stuff happening. She's finally come out of her stupor and headed back to hide. So you see that it is just you guys, these animals, their agitation is increasing. And you notice one of the boars starts to look around and starts to seem aggressive. It's pretty slow, but it's looking pretty aggressive. We'll say Tad over here is looking like it's trying to find somebody possibly to take out its aggression on, or maybe a tree again. Who knows?
For those listening, we named the boars on the map Tad and Dan.
There's Tad and Dan and Barb or Bev. What was it?
It was Beth.
Beth. Beth is dead.
It was Beth.
And the goats are Terry and Sam.
You monster.
I just went ahead and named them.
Everything should have a name.
What's funny is I didn't know that happened until I came up on the map today, because you did it while I was on that other map with Davin while he was searching Darnaldi's house in the last session. So it sat there for a week before I even saw it.
It's a very Gwyn thing to do. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I knew the color. I knew that the handwriting or mouse writing, I guess you could call it, was definitely Gwyn. Okay. So is that your whole turn, Joxer? Yeah. I just said it had to be.
Yeah.
I'm done. We are now... I was going to say the shadows, and you don't see any. None seem to be attacking you as you all kind of look, and you're holding your attention in this darkness, trying to see if something's coming. Nothing seems to at this point, and we will go to Krieg's turn.
Is Teld within 30 feet of me currently?
Make a perception check.
How old is Teld?
You do not see a Teld. What did you say, Gwyn?
How old is he?
You don't know. He was old enough to be Giss's father when he died.
Okay, that's what I was getting at.
Joxer killed him. You saw Joxer kill him. And you know that Teld was Giss's father from the conversation
you had
with Darnaldi in that whole like case against him with the chief and stuff.
I just hate that guy, so...
Teld?
No, Darnaldi.
Oh, right. No,
not a friend of the group. Right.
Being that I can't see Teld, I know that he is around. I'm going to call out pretty loudly, "Davin!" And see if I get a response, because I know he was hurt pretty bad.
All right. Does he get a response, Davin?
Yeah, he says, "I'm fine, I'm fine."
I'm going to run to the voice because I know how stubborn he is. He's just in range of me to be able to reach. I'm going to run just around the hut to where I find a Davin whimpering a little bit, but a little bit less after Gwyn cast her healing. And I'm going to cast Lay on Hands on Davin and give him, I'm going to dump 25 HP into you, buddy.
Nice. All right.
That sounds spicy.
Heck yeah. I'm just going to
massage his shoulders and be like, "Get back in the game. You got this. We have enemies afoot."
Can you reach his shoulders?
He's on the ground, like, kind of sitting, like, whimpering after he's hurt. I imagine him just be, like, holding his knee. Oh! Yep. Like,
he's the guy.
I think of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I like an eye level, though.
All right, is that your whole turn?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to...
All right, Davin, that's your turn. It's your turn now.
All right. Davin will look at him and just kind of give a nod, and then I'll use two sorcery points to turn a regular spell into a bonus action, and I'm going to cast Mage Armor on myself so I can finally get a little bit more protection.
Alrighty.
And then I'm going to walk around this hut so that I'm back in view of where everything is, so I can see everything. And then with my second action from haste, I'm going to hold it if I can, and hold a... let's say a firebolt in case I see him come back into view.
Okay, great. What next, Gwyn? We on you now? I mean, it's your turn if Davin's done.
Yeah. I try to look for Davin while he's coming around the corner, but I can't see him. But I feel like I would notice the tension happening in this cage of boars and goats. And I am going to cast Animal Friendship and point my attention to them. And I'm going to cast it at fifth level, so I get all four of them.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
Bip. Let me move on over and say howdy do to my new friends.
All right, they're in the middle of the area. Yes. The pin there, you step right in the middle of the pin, but they're all stirring and frustrated. Is there any kind of saving throw or anything like that? I'm looking right now, actually.
Yes.
These intelligence is 4 or higher. The spell fails. Otherwise, they must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or be charmed. So I have to make 4 wisdom saving throws for these creatures.
And so while
wisdom,
he's doing that,
they can't be great. Wisdom can't be great on a boar and a goat. Minus 2, 12. So 10 for boar 1.
For Tad.
5 for boar 2.
Dan.
What's the goat? Does the goat have better wisdom than the boar? Let's see. The boar is a minus 1. It does have better. They're way more wise. 11 for the first Terry. Goat. And 2 for the second goat. So they have all your goats and boars now. Whee! So you own all these animals. Like
what a menagerie.
Most successful.
Is that your whole turn?
Yeah, because she's trying to round them all up. It's okay, just calm down. And she starts to pull trail mix out of her bag and spread it on the ground.
By the way, when you talk about boars and goats together, you just combine it and call them boats.
Oh.
That way.
I like it.
Easier all to the say. Boats.
Better than gores.
It's boat man. So gores. So Teld sees you come into the middle there, and as his legendary action, he makes his 2 attacks against you there, and his a 19 to hit is the first one. Actually, it's a 21 to hit, and the second one is a 26 to hit. So the first one does a d8 6 damage plus the sneak attack, 66 sneak attack damage as well. which comes to a total of, that's a lot of ones and threes, 18 more damage from the sneak attack there as well.
And in doing so, does he reveal himself to me as I am looking for
him? And so he is revealed, but it is now his turn. And so his crossbow, having been loaded, he had an idea, and Gwendolyn changed it. So as he's kind of ducking down behind this fence, he fires two more crossbows also at Gwendolyn.
All right. No.
25. 2 15s in a row. And then the Hired Swords dice is doing better for me this time. So no sneak attack damage on that. By the way, I need you to make two constitution saving throws.
Me?
For those two other hits.
I'm going to have a conversation with Starbuck about these dice rolls.
Yeah.
Same.
I don't like it.
16 for the first roll.
That's a save? So you take half of what I'll roll in a minute?
Aw, snap. 18 plus 4.
Get okay, ripped. So you have
22.
You have 2 7d6 rolls.
Get out of here.
This is just that first.
I hope it's all ones.
4, 5, 6. One more. 7. It's not all ones.
20. Gwen is in a little bit of trouble here, I think.
26 halves, so you take 13 damage from the first hit. That's poison damage.
Oh, cool.
And then you take 26 halved again, so 13 damage from the second hit. Wow, I rolled 26 twice in a row. Wow. On 66 or 76. Hey, okay. Two times. That's crazy.
That's,
and then
right.
That was just that first. So the second hit, you took 9 damage from the first hit, the second attacks on his actual turn. So 9 damage from the crossbow bolt. I need you to make another constitution saving throw.
So I took 13 twice, and now I need to roll a constitution saving throw for this
again,
third one?
Correct. For the third.
All right.
The first hit of his turn. The last two was his attack action on his legendary action.
Okay.
Which he did at the end of your turn, actually.
Get wrecked. It's a 19.
19?
Mm-hmm.
Make another saving throw for the last hit.
Oh, my God.
As I half this damage.
Oh my god. A dirty 20. Get out of here.
23 halved, so that would be 11 poison damage. And then the second one is halved again because you saved all those. Nice job.
Yeah, I got my boyfriends.
23 halved again, so 11, another 11. That's weird that I rolled
26,
the same
26,
poison
23,
damage
23.
Twice in a row on both turns.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm okay.
Surely I'm counting wrong or something. What? Okay, so that was an 11 more damage.
Yep.
He then, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I went from 87 to 39. So
okay.
That's
so
fun.
Then he starts to back away again.
Do I get to use my held action?
Yes. Yeah, he's in range or in view for sure.
Okay, it's 15, but I'm going to make sure that this hits, and I'm going to use my, you know what? No, I'm just going to say 15.
15 to hit?
Yes.
15 is his armor class.
Sweet. So it's two.
But he, as a reaction, he shifts himself, and you see suddenly three or four of him as these shadow mists kind of form and go around him. And your attack actually hits a different one and knocks it away and dissolves it. And he's fine. He continues to scurry away and takes his bonus action to hide. And he is now, well, we'll see how hidden he is after I roll this. Okay. So that takes us, that is his turn. He is hidden again. And that takes us to Joxer's turn.
Well, that's no fun if he's hidden.
That's his bread and butter, baby.
I don't know if there's much I can do. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I feel at this point, seeing that I guess Gwendolyn is damaged, but, you know, safe with her friends. And then Teld run, at least as far as he could tell, maybe like on this side of the farm area or the
Seems like he ran that direction. Yeah, as far as you could tell, I was kind of seeing his head bob a little bit above that fence as he ran by.
Yeah, I'd probably jump the fence and, as a bonus action, I'd probably just yell out again in the same vein of, your family's suffering. How could you do this? Forget about anything else that's plaguing you. You're just think of your family, Gis, and your wife.
All right, is that your whole turn?
Yeah, and I'll just take a defensive action.
Okay, sounds good. Good idea. All right, that's going to take us now to Kriggs.
Why have you done this? I'm assuming, with me especially, as far out as I am now, that I cannot see him.
No, you cannot. Sorry, I muted myself instead of unmuting. No, you do not see him.
Sick. I'm going to call out loudly, I am Ember! I am Oak! And my my cloak is going to transform back into those two blue jay wings. And I am going to rise into the sky roughly about 20 feet. And I am going to fly over towards the pin, roughly about 40 feet away, using up the entirety of my movement. Yeah, technically it wouldn't be math and an angle and everything else like that. but can I see him like now?
You currently do not see anything else undead or anything glowing around you. No.
Ugh. Okay. Well, this is my action. I'm just going to sit here and hover and wait and see for an opportune moment that I can strike. I'm not able to really do too much. I'm going to sit here as a target and hope for the best.
Okay, that takes us to Gwendolyn.
Hello. I fall down to my knees after getting struck so many times.
I skipped Davin.
That's very rude.
It takes us to Davin. I'm very rude. Davin, Gwendolyn falls to her knees, and then what do you do? See, I did on purpose. It was for the story. It was narrative.
Davin's getting a little annoyed by this guy. He's going to rush forward, and he's going to try and use this tree for cover, but he wants to try and get... when was the last time we saw him? Like, which direction was he heading?
He was on the other side of the pin, all the way towards the huts over there, and was heading southward. Running between the huts and the back fence of the pen there that the animals are in.
Okay, Davin's going to run forward about 30 feet, give or take, kind of get close to Kriggs. And he's going to prepare a spell, and he's going to start holding a spell in case he comes back again.
Okay. All right. Is that's everything you're going to do then? So we are at Gwyn, yep, as she's on her knees now.
Correct. And she's just... she doesn't know what's going to happen. She just is staring around and making sure, instead of making sure she's okay, she's making sure that the boars and goats are okay. And I'm going to say she readies an attack. Actually, I'm going to cast Bark Skin on myself.
Okay. Bark Skin. So you have a rough bark-like appearance, and your AC can't be less than 16, regardless of what kind of armor you're wearing. That's cool.
Correct. And as she touches her arm, you see like little rifts pop up like bark on a tree all over her skin, and she's just sitting there just breathing, just trying to catch a breath.
I am Gwen. Nice. All right.
That's it.
Is that your whole turn?
Yeah, I'm going to move my totem probably more south, so it's centered on myself.
Okay, I will move that on the map. So the totem, this pink sparkly aura kind of starts to move around. If I can grab the thing. Oh, I know why. And it now is surrounding Gwendolyn perfectly in the middle. So this thing just around this pin, and all these animals in here are in this pink aura now with the pink with the sparklies in it. At the end of Gwendolyn's turn, again, Teld is going to take his second legendary action. He did his first one in hiding. And he's going to, you suddenly hear from above you, Joxer, from on top of this, the roof of this hut, you hear this, and it's this creature falls down on top of you and makes two short sword attacks with his legendary action. The and first one is a 26.
Those would be a disadvantage.
Okay. Which would have been a straight roll. Would have been a straight roll because he would get advantage with being a sneak attack on first one.
Oh, okay.
So
26.
So he gets 26, and then the second one is at a disadvantage if he hits you with the first one?
Yeah.
Still? Okay. So the second one is a 19.
It does not hit.
Okay. So the first one hits, and so you make a constitution saving throw for the poison. I will do the piercing damage.
Okay, so 19 for the constitution. Damage.
19 saves, so you'll do half of the 7. Okay, so total here with the D8 and the 66 is 5, 10, 16, 22, 27, 31 points of damage from the slicing of this sword with the sneak attack, as he's able to stand up there and stare you down for a second before he attacks and pick exactly where he wants to go, going right from your neck and your shoulder, slashing right across your chest.
Ouch.
It's going to be a 6 scar at least.
And then then the poison, as you feel it kind of start to go through your body, 21 half, so 10 poison damage as well. And then it is now his turn.
Of course. My held action, does it come after his turn or before his turn?
It comes, we'll let it happen right at that second attack when he misses, but he became visible there after his first hit. So go ahead and make that attack.
Mine is actually...
Granted, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, as you look at him, you do still see two more of these other shadow versions of him swirling around him.
Okay. So I'm not doing a to hit spell. He's got to make a charisma saving throw.
Charisma saving throw.
Okay. Yes. 16.
Charisma. He rolled a 19 plus. Yeah. Well, minus 1. So 18.
let me make sure I can't do anything to make this work. I don't think I can. Nope. Just fails. Dang. Okay.
Okay. Well, then he makes two more short sword attacks at Joxer.
At disadvantage,
and no longer. So the first one is a 24, 14 and an 18.
That'll hit.
Second one is a 19 and a 16, so a 26.
Those will both hit.
Wow, these are going to keep, I'm going to keep rolling those. those are just doing the D8, make two constitution saving throws for those potential poison. So
okay.
11.
Okay,
so from 20. The first piercing.
And, oh, that's a 13.
Okay, so 16 total piercing damage. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The first poison, which is halved. 3 sixes, 2 fives, a 3 and a 2. So 12.
Ooh, this is not good.
Joxer!
18.
That'll,
33. Halved, so 16 damage of poison. So that poison surges through your body, and it's just too much for you as you black out and start to go unconscious. And he goes ahead and makes that second attack against you, and hits, and he's not gonna walk away from you once you've fallen down. So especially you being who you are. And so as he swings, whoa, I dropped the dice. As he swings and he makes that second attack on you, that was a 26 to hit you. It auto hits and you lose 2 death saving throws automatically.
Yep.
That puts us at the end of his turn. Actually, he's going to step away. Well, he's not going to step away. He's going to stay right where he is. He's going to stay right where he is. He's not going to leave Joxer there. He's visible, though. You all see him. And there he stands. And it is where we will leave this episode. I just looked at the
Joxer's
time.
Joxer's going to die.
All right.
Oof.
Ash, you're muted.
I think she's muted on purpose, maybe.
Oh, man. Yep.
Thank you for listening to episode 5 of our second season. Man, it's going fast. We really appreciate you joining us for this adventure. If you enjoyed our show, tell a friend about us. And if you really enjoyed it, tell the world and leave a review. Be sure to check out our shop at thehired.store. If you want to keep up with us and what we're up to, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook, as well as Instagram at thehiredswords. And again, thank you for listening.